I'm Apollonia Puente, and welcome to the Write Your Legend podcast for daily motivation, inspiration, and advice about life, dating, and relationships. I believe we're all here to write our legend, and my definition of writing your legend is someone who embodies greatness, who prevails in the hard times, does right for the world, and constantly pushes themselves to embody happiness and success, personally and professionally. I commit to supporting you every step of the way. So let's write your legend and begin. Hi, guys, and welcome to today's episode. I am so excited to be able to introduce you to our special guest on the Write Your Legend podcast. But before we get started, of course, I have to give a shout out to one of the people who had recently rated and reviewed our podcast. As all of you know, I love to hear from you. I love to read your reviews. And a shout out to ANJR2. He says, this podcast right here, this is honestly one of the best podcasts for personal development that I've stumbled upon. I've learned so much from Apollonia and her team. I've even invested in a few of her courses that I highly recommend. What I like about her podcast and her other work is she comes from a place of integrity. Her sincerity is genuine, and I truly appreciate that. That sets her apart from everyone else I've listened to. She does not sugarcoat it, and she tells it like it is. Thank you for everything you do. Well, thank you so much for that kind, kind review. To be honest with you guys, those reviews actually motivate me, and they remind me of why I do this, and I really, really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to leave that for us. So now let's get into today's podcast. I have a special guest. His name is G.S. Youngblood, and I actually found him off of a book that I found on Amazon called The Masculine in Relationships, which is a very, very powerful book, and he is actually a coach that helps men own their power back in their own relationships and really helps nice guys. And I really like his conversations that we've had previously and also in his book. So I wanted to take the time out to interview him so he can share some of his amazing knowledge with us as well. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, my pleasure, Apollonia.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just wanted to kind of talk about your book and just really have a conversation around it because I have referred a couple of my clients to read your book, typically the ones that have going through a rough time in their marriages as well. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of just give a brief overview on why you started this book and what happened in your personal life and encouraged you to now come to this book and be here with me?
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's a phrase, your greatest gift or contribution often comes from your biggest wound. And for me, this quest started, you know, 10 years ago when I got divorced, and it was a 10-year marriage, and it ended poorly, and it was painful. And so, you know, from that time, I was really intent on wanting to do it a different way. And it's like, how can I do relationship? How can I be in my power, especially with a strong woman? Because I was married to a strong woman, and I knew that I needed a woman of substance. So how can I be in my own power? And I think the last 12 years were really, really my own journey through studying with some well-known teachers, through being in a long-term relationship at that time for about 7 years and seeing what worked and what didn't. And really, it was through that real-life practice of real relationship and all the men's work that I was doing that over the years I started to codify different patterns, and I would write them down. And at some point, I had about 300 notes to myself. And at that point, I said, well, maybe I can turn this into something and share it with a broader group of men who can learn from the mistakes that I made and hopefully not make them themselves. So that was the journey and the impetus for writing this book.
Yeah, I love that. And I really did like this book a lot. You know, that's why I reached out to you too. And I kind of want to just point out a couple things in the book so the listeners can really understanding for what's in the book and also kind of give them some pointers that will help them either, you know, after this podcast that they can take away in their personal lives, even if they're just dating and not in a relationship, it'll help them better understand women and how we operate. And also, even if they are in a marriage, I think that this can happen as help them as well. So I'll just walk us through the book. I'll probably even say some verses from your book that I really like and I have highlighted. But I just want to break down one of the three elements that GS has in his book is Element One is Respond Versus Reacting, which a lot of my following and community knows that I talk a lot about. Element Two is to provide structure for women. And then Element Three is to create safety and learn how. And I like that you talked about the masculine and feminine dance, and that's where probably we can start. How would you define masculine energy?
Well, it is, I do think the blueprint that you just laid out is my definition of that. And, you know, the first element of masculine energy is, for me, it's a stillness and a groundedness. You know, it's not a lot of fluttering about and talking a lot and you know, high levels of expression. It's not a lot about shifting your point of view or getting overly excited or defensive or reactive. It's really about stillness and groundedness. And that's really the whole first part of the book is me talking about how men cultivate more stillness and groundedness, which I think with the biggest part of that being embodiment practices. And I am, because it's so core to that quality, I'm right now putting an online course together around embodiment practices, and I'll have it on my website. Then there's the structure. You know, the masculine is structure. That means clarity and decisiveness. You know what you want. You know what you want to do. You're creating order out of disorder. And I mean, you could see this in a work environment. Take the gender out of it. You know, at a work environment, a leader, you know, galvanizes people to all be pointed in the same direction, you know, facilitates decisions getting made. So everybody feels comfortable and they know what's happening, and then everybody moves forward. Well, that's the same quality the masculine energy can bring into a relationship and creating structure and direction for the couple.
Yeah. So. In your book, and I like this because in your book, you've even really outlined what the masculine looks like. And I want to share this with some of our listeners. So one of the biggest things about your book is when you read it, you really structured it in a way where you broke things down in a piece by piece element, bullet pointed a couple things. And this is where I want to share. So in your book, you say, I think it's chapter five, the blueprint, when it starts here in the masculine and feminine dance. You talk about what the masculine does, right? What the masculine looks like. And he takes charge. He speaks confidently. He moves deliberately, has strong presence, stands with a grounded, natural posture, seems unswayed by others, has clear boundaries, does not seem afraid of women's emotions, states what he wants, holds a steady gaze. I love that. Steps up to a lead in a group, speaks his truth, 100%. Has a strong purpose in life, 100%. Acknowledges his emotions, seems fearless, leads his women in sexuality, attracts others to him, is listened to when he speaks.
Yeah.
I like the last one because if you embody all of this, naturally you're going to be listened to when you speak.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Yeah. And I thank you for reading that list. It'd been a while since I'd read it, but the reason I put that in there was I wanted to give guys, you know, what would your eyes see and your ears hear in a man who has these qualities? Now, the rest of the book is not about the behaviors that you just listed, but it's about what's underneath and how to cultivate that. But I definitely wanted to show what the eyes and ears would see and hear for a man that has this energy. And you can spot it across the room, especially a woman, as you know. You know, yeah. You can spot these qualities without even hearing the man talk.
100%, just off of energetic feeling and also how his body language is, 100%.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm just going to message, I just want to point out a couple more because I think this is really will help our listeners too. And the people that are listening, what I would suggest for you to do is kind of maybe even fast forward or, you know, play back of what I just said and really kind of maybe even take note of what sticks out to you and what you embody in these traits and this masculine energy, and then maybe what doesn't seem grounded in your masculine core, what I'm going to say. So in the next bullet point, you said a man who doesn't seem to be grounded in a masculine core might be overly expressive, get defensive when verbally attacked, collapse around feminine energy or strong masculine energy, withdraw when feeling hurt, nervously fidget or tap his hands or feet, get unconsciously angry when being shamed, talk too much to fill awkward silence, try to initiate sex indirectly rather than directly, compulsively try to please others, get nervous with a beautiful woman, be physically out of shape, be unable to make decisions, be afraid to speak his truth, move and speak rapidly, be lazy and lack of purpose, have poor eye contact and being ignored by others, which are just a few because there's some, and one important thing is fail to express or hold boundaries. So that's really, I think, a great outline, because that as well shows what women really get attracted to, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why I liked that bullet point that you had in that book.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned attraction. Obviously, that's what we're talking about here. But men fall into the trap of thinking that attraction is solely based on looks, height, wealth, the kind of car, you know, how smooth you are. And while those things matter, I mean, you can't get away from it to varying degrees, depending on the woman. Mm-hmm. You know, my experience, and I want to bounce this off of you, Apollonia, but, you know, my experience is that attractiveness is way more dependent on the energy you emote. So you can be, you know, you don't have to be 6'4". You don't have to be the best looking guy in the place. If you have a really strong masculine energy, you know, a la some of the qualities that you just said, you're going to attract women. You're going to attract women that you think are out of your league if you really develop this quality about you.
100%. Mm-hmm. 100%. There is a man that I'm working with right now. Actually, he's a young man in his 20s. He doesn't even see how good looking he is. He's that one. He's a nice guy. And I'm like, oh, I want to strangle him and say, only if you can just do see this. And I'm working with him and it's working. But it's like, yeah. I can see that he would have women just at his doorstep, you know? And it's not only because he's good looking, but because he has purpose in life, right? Mm-hmm. He's good in his career. And a lot of men suffer from, I'm outspoken and I get what I want and I'm very independent in work and I'm very mm-hmm. successful. But when it comes to women, that's not the same thing. Why do you think that is?
Ah, okay. That was your client saying that?
No, that was just me coming up with it. But I'm just saying he's that guy that's great at work. But then when it comes to women, he struggles.
Well, you know, work is very objective. It's not emotion. Things make sense. It's very logical, and men feel at home in that.
Yes.
But you get into the realm of the feminine and females, and two things happen. One is you might be smart at work, but outside of that, your self-worth is kind of dependent on what the woman thinks of you. And so the more beautiful she is, the more you struggle with your own self-image and are you good enough and questioning yourself. And you're dealing with a feminine being, which is mm-hmm. not always logical. Like when she's in the feminine energy, it's not about logic. It's about connection. It's about emotion. It's about feeling. And that's baffling for most men. And they just feel incompetent. Yeah. And so you can find a man that is very asymmetrical between his work environment and his personal or dating life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah. I see a lot of, one thing that I always say, and it kind of brings us back to clarity too, with this particular realm, which is what you just did and helps a lot of men understand that too. I like that you said, like, there's no emotions typically that are involved and we're not understanding a lot of the emotions that a feminine role bring to, a relationship because it's outside of, you know, in work, that's different. We don't have that, as much, obviously. So one of the things that I always say, and I think about, if you are a successful man and you have a great position or you're an entrepreneur and you're doing great in your work, you had to fail a couple times in order to get there. Mm-hmm. You also had to learn to be in that position, either through life experiences, college, education, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And then you had to adapt. So the same thing happens in relationships and understanding women. It's just, we're not possibly learning. And a lot of times we think, oh, since we're born, then we should be able to just have these relationships, right? Yeah. And that's where we see a lot of men getting into this nice guy mentality. And something I do want to talk about, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
And we can go into that. So in your book, I like how you outline the reactive versus responsive, because a lot of times men ask me, Apollonia, can you clarify? I don't understand. What's the difference between reactive? What's the difference between responsive? Mm-hmm. So before we go into the nice guy reactionary and responsionary, like what a nice guy would do, can you give me the definition of what you think is the difference between being reactive and responsive?
Well, I think we talked about what it looks like. Mm-hmm. But if we can go into more of that if you want, but you know, what's underneath it is, let's see. Reactive is you operate out of the programming of your wounds and fears. Responsive is you operate out of choice and intention.
Yes.
And, you know, Viktor Frankl's got a great phrase, you know, between stimulus and response, there is a space, and in that space lies our freedom. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I didn't butcher that, but that's pretty much what the quote says from him. And that's where the responsive man has really opened up that space, and he sees what happens in the world around him or in the conversation in front of him. And he pauses and he considers and he chooses, and he chooses how he speaks. He chooses how he gestures with his hand. He chooses how he turns his head. It's always in choice, and there's always a little space there and a pause within him. And unfortunately, most men aren't doing it. They're on autopilot. And the more nervous you get, the more on autopilot you get. And you go completely into your head, and your thoughts are going so fast that you can't really even slow down and operate choicefully. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's the kind of the difference underneath between somebody who's reactive versus somebody who's responsive.
Yeah. And would you say one can get less reactionary by maybe meditation, breath work, and how would you say that they can improve in these skills?
Yeah, I could not give a strong enough endorsement for embodiment exercises in this regard, Apollonia. Mm-hmm. You know, man, it's not a quick fix, but it is the one thing that will work in almost all situations, because it's independent of circumstances, it's independent of thought. It's about settling your nervous system, and you do that through meditation, breathing, movement, and other kinds of embodiment practices. And this is what I teach to my clients, and I'm about to do an online course on this, just embodiment practice every day. So, you know, to your listeners, Apollonia, if I say, look, if you are unsatisfied with relationship and who you're attracting, but you don't have a daily practice, well, there you go. That's the reason. And if you want to be more successful, the number one thing you can do is get a daily practice.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
So you say something here in the book. So it says, a reactive man acts like a nice guy. He smiles mm-hmm. too much, tries to please everyone around him, defers to others. He calibrates his behavior to avoid upsetting anyone, and he hides the anger he feels as a result. Mm-hmm. And then a man who is responsive does not orient himself around pleasing others. He lives his truth knowing that others won't always like it. He is not narcissistic, but rather is at peace with who he is and what he does. I love that one. I like that a lot, because I like the fact that you point out that he's in peace with who he is and what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the first one, when he says, well, you know, he smiles too much, tries to please everyone around him, comes from an external or internal seeking of validation. And that's why the nice guy is created.
Yeah. Yeah. The poor nice guys. And first of all, let's give credit to Robert Glover about this sort of nice guy concept. I think his book codified it as well as anybody. Mm-hmm. But the nice guy, I mean, you got to feel some compassion for this guy. He goes through life and he is scared. He's scared that people won't approve of him. He's scared he'll lose love. He'll lose attention. And so he goes through life, just his radar's on 10, and he's watching everybody. He's seeing the subtleties of how they respond to him, and he's doing the subtle course corrections to try to get them to approve of him, to like him, to give him that sign that we talked about earlier. You know, he's looking for the sign that the other person somehow, you know, likes him, approves of him, thinks he's, you know, smart, okay, good looking, you know, things like that. And it's painful. His radar is on all the time, and it's exhausting. And then underneath that, as I think Robert Glover really pointed out very well, he's pissed at the world, because the world is not giving him what he wants, and he can't figure out why. And so underneath, he's actually really angry. It's this weird juxtaposition between anger and nice guy that you wouldn't suspect mm-hmm. can be underneath in a lot of these people.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think also, too, that sometimes the nice guy mentality can embody, like, comfortability to someone and to a man, right?
Yeah, like if I understand what you mean, it's like they try to make everybody feel comfortable, and, like, they're very non-threatening, they're very safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is, you know, as you know in the book, and I'm sure you talk about this, too, in your practice, you know, creating safety for the feminine is super important, but when that's very different from you being safe. Like those are two, you know, being safe and non-threatening is a complete turnoff and it'll kill attraction, you know, pretty quickly. But making her safe, if you can make her safe skillfully, and I talk a lot about this in the book, then you can actually bring in a little bit of edge where you, where you're bringing some edginess into the relationship. And that combination of safety and edge is like what makes a man uniquely attractive, if you ask me.
Exactly. And I think it's really important to say that, you know, women do want a nice guy. I mean, the partner that I'm with, he's a nice man, you know, he's of humble being. And that's the reason why I chose my partner is because of the number one thing. But the difference between the two is there's a nice man, a respectful man that has the values, that has the standards, that has the abundance in his life, that has the integrity, and that also can come up and say what he wants and show up as a challenge. And then there's a nice guy that does everything opposite of that because he's willing for his voice to be heard. And also too, I think what I've seen a lot of is men that come from a very prominent feminine household where he's raised by all women and four sisters and a mom and daughter and father was never there. Right. Because the women initially have taught him to respect other women. Right. So in his programming is I have to respect women. So subconsciously what it's happened to him is he's put his beliefs and his standards on autopilot because they're non-existent because he's going off of what his, the role that he needs to play in his programming. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I've seen that a lot.
Yep. Agreed. It's like when your sole purpose is to sort of please others or be somebody you're supposed to be, like you said, you lose touch with your own desires, your needs, your preferences, your boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I have a really deep embodiment practice that I work on with every single client about how to not have all your attention on her, but actually have attention on the other, but also have attention on yourself. And that's through that embodiment, I give them space to then go find what's happening here while I'm interacting with her, you know, and how do I balance both, you know, taking care of you as well as taking care of my own needs.
Yeah.
It's a big practice men need to do.
I love that. And so that leads me to the end of this. Where could they possibly find that practice? Where can they find more of you? Can you please tell our audience?
Yeah. So the book you can find on Amazon, it's called The Masculine in Relationship, A Blueprint for Inspiring the Trust, Lust, and Devotion of a Strong Woman. You can go to my website, gsyoungblood.com. You can see a lot of the videos. I will be probably, it'll be within the 6 weeks. My embodiment course will be online and you can buy that. So please reach out if you want to be put on the waiting list. Later in the fall, I'm going to put out a online course on dark and light energies, which is going to be awesome. Teaching men to kind of develop some of their dark energies as well as some of the heart-based practices and then melding the two.
Yeah.
So that's where you can go. And then you can get on not only my Facebook page, but also a discussion group called the Masculine in Relationship on Facebook.
Nice.
And they can also reach out for coaching as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. Wonderful. So I'm going to definitely include that in the links below in today's podcast, guys. Well, GS, thank you so much for joining me today on this podcast. It was definitely a great one and you gave some amazing tools that I know a lot of men can put in their pocket and also possibly pick up that book that we're talking about here. I would encourage that they can find it on Amazon. And I can also include the link below.
That's great. Look, Apollonia, that was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
If you enjoy this podcast, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast and share it with your friends. Congratulations to writing your legend. And thanks so much for listening today. And I'll talk to you soon in the next episode.